Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Let me remind you as you are turning there that it's this Friday that we have our fellowship, our open forum fellowship at our home. And so if you're interested in joining us for a night of dinner, potluck, discussion, you could talk to me, Hazel. Contact us if you're coming, and we're looking forward to this coming Friday night. Now, Matthew 9, 9 through 13, this is God's word. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray together. Father, we ask now your blessing upon your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God is a reasonable God. And what I mean by that is he will call his people to reason together, to reason together. Talk things out. Settle a dispute, possibly. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord calls his people, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Come now, let us reason together," says Yahweh, the covenant God. In our text, we find Jesus, the Lord, God with us, reasoning, and in this case, reasoning with those who oppose him, and reasoning with those who will ultimately prove to be deadly enemies. Jesus reasons with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were offended, scandalized, very disturbed with Jesus eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And we know that eating and drinking, reclining, was an expression of mutual fellowship and trust. Reclining was an expression that you were loyal to one another as you ate a meal together. You never sat and ate with an enemy. It was a seal and a celebration of reconciliation. Here is solidarity. Sitting, reclining, as they did in the ancient Middle East, eating together, drinking together, as a seal and celebration of reconciliation, true solidarity. Solidarity with the one I eat, with the one I eat with. The Pharisees saw Jesus eating, drinking, reclining with traitors, with those who were despised, those who were unacceptable socially, unacceptable politically, unacceptable religiously and spiritually. Jesus reclining, eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees were a party of religious leaders among the people. They were really the populist party. Their mission was to keep things pure, to keep Jewish identity protected. The Pharisees were given to gain victory over imperial pagans, the Roman Empire. But the way in which they went about their mission was harsh, hypocritical, emphasizing an external conformity to the law and the rabbinical traditions. It was a kind of program where you checked off the boxes as you looked over your shoulder. You paid your dues, an external routine, a conformity to tradition. But there was no heart change, and they didn't look for heart change. And these particular men as a group did not have a heart change for God. Now Jesus comes and he disturbs the purity. It seems as though he's compromising with the identity. He's fellowshipping with traitors and despisers. He's deconstructing the traditions and the teaching of the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees come and they ask his disciples, well, why? Why is your teacher, somewhat sarcastically, it seems, why your teacher is eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? And so Jesus responds, let us reason together. Let us reason together. And so he gives three reasons in our text, verses 12 and 13, three reasons. Why eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why eating with those who are despised, those who are estranged, those who are on the margins of society, those who are rejected, not accepted? Why eat with them? And so Jesus gives three reasons. Now, just briefly and very, very briefly, you look at the form of his reasoning and you see him using a proverb about a physician. He quotes from the Old Testament, Hosea 6:6. And then he makes a declaration about who he is calling as Messiah. So just kind of appreciate the form of the reasons, the reasoning which he does with the Pharisees. So the three reasons. Why am I eating with tax collectors and sinners? First reason, because of human need. Because of human need. He gives really a well-known proverb. It is not those, verse 12, not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. It's human need. A good physician will give himself to his patients in order to heal them. I think of some of the physicians in Africa, the Congo and northwest Uganda, when the Ebola outbreak occurred, there were doctors and nurses that gave themselves to their community, even though they were risking their lives much. And I recognize there's protocols and care that a physician, a nurse needs to take in order to bring a healing touch to someone. I recognize that. But ordinarily, a physician, a nurse, will give themselves to those who are sick in order to bring about healing. Here is Jesus relating to sinners, tax collectors, and really in this proverb, bringing a metaphorical description of what it is to be a sinner, what it is to be a tax collector. They're sick. It's not their essential identity. It's as though Jesus can see something greater, a future reality, a new creation, even among tax collectors and sinners, in which they can be transformed by his power and grace. I haven't come for the healthy, Jesus says. I come for those who are sick. And it's interesting how he parallels what it is to be sinful and a sickness. There's many ways of describing the sinful state of a human being, to be sure, and the human race. Many ways of describing it. Here, it's sickness and the need is remedy from a physician. He's the great physician of the soul. It was Louis Farrakhan during the Million Man March. I don't know if any of you remember that. And a tremendous response, Washington, D.C., and Louis Farrakhan heading up now Nation of Islam, a Muslim group. It was like a two-hour speech, sermon. And during it, I watched it. I was rather interested in what was going on. And during the speech, he was rather emphatic about white people. White people are sick. The white man is sick. The white man is sick. And he kind of drove that home. And I'm watching and, you know, kind of considering. And, you know, he's absolutely right. We are sick. But so is he. And so is everybody else. The human race is sick. And until we come to that, we will not understand the grace and mercy, the compassion of God. We all have to own our sickness. Sin is not essential to us, but it certainly has attached itself to us like a disease, like a virus. The irony is, if you think you are healthy, you are in grave danger. If you think you are healthy, you are far more sick than those who know their sickness and seek redemption, seek remedy. So Jesus eats and drinks with sinners because of human need. He's the physician. He can heal. He has shown that in a very physical, concrete way. The leper, the Roman centurion slave, Peter's mother-in-law. You'll see many, many examples of Jesus healing those who are sick. And in part, new creation has come. There's power and blessing in the kingdom and in the King, Jesus himself. And it is to represent what he is able to do to the human heart, which the Pharisees don't understand at all. He can bring healing to our soul, to our spirit, to our heart. So Jesus eats and drinks with sinners because of human need. Second, Jesus eats and drinks with sinners because of God's desire. Jesus quotes from Hosea 6:6. Look at verse 13. He says to the Pharisees, go and learn what this means. Pharisees had a very superficial understanding of the Old Testament. Even though they taught it, they probably had it memorized. And there was all kinds of tradition and interpretations, which they were masters of. And they could teach. It just rolled off their tongues what they understood the law of God to teach. And continuing in a harsh way to bring conformity among his people for the various reasons, their mission of purity and protection and undermining the imperial powers and whatever else, yet in a very harsh external way and in a superficial way. So Jesus says, go and learn what this means, quote from Hosea 6:6, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. What's interesting is the Lord himself ordained that sacrifice be offered. There's all kinds of teaching throughout the Old Testament about a sacrifice. So it's not as though the Lord is in any way like degrading or undermining the sacrificial system. Jesus will fulfill it, to be sure. But to the Pharisees, Jesus is not saying that there's no place for sacrifice. The problem with the Pharisees is this. When it came to the sacrifice, the sacrifice was but a routine. Sacrifice was to pay one's dues, to check off the box, an elaborate show. In fact, the way sacrifices were offered through the Old Testament, which the Lord reminded, exhorted, corrected, rebuked his people again and again. It wasn't about the externals of giving the sacrifice, checking off a box, check box off religion. That becomes pagan, really. The point of the sacrifice is this, that the Lord was pointing out that he was compassionate to his people, even through a substitute, that he would forgive their sin by virtue of a pure substitute. And that they, in giving the sacrifice, would give themselves to the Lord himself, learning his compassion and mercy. It wasn't about just fulfilling some religious duty. It wasn't about an external routine. It wasn't about checking off the box, paying one's dues. It was rather to behold the mercy and compassion of God in the sacrifice itself, the sacrificial lamb. That God himself would be merciful and would provide the lamb for his people. John the Baptist to Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that the people, in offering these sacrifices, should have been moved by compassion, the compassion of God towards them in the promise of a coming Messiah, coming sacrifice, the suffering servant. And then also learning in offering that sacrifice that they give themselves to the Lord in order to follow in that compassionate and merciful way. The Pharisees did not understand this at all. And so this is what the Lord, I desire. I desire compassion. It can be translated here, I desire mercy. If you go back to Hosea 6, it's really that word for covenant love, chesed. Sometimes translated steadfast love, sometimes unfailing love, sometimes loving kindness, sometimes covenant love. In our translations, you go back to Hosea 6:6, and it's loyalty, that God desires loyalty. And it's that kind of captures a dimension of chesed. But it's really love to the undeserving. And this is what God says. I take pleasure in, and you could render it this way. The Lord saying, I take pleasure in, I take delight in this kind of love that would even forgive those that are undeserving. And the whole point of the sacrifice is to demonstrate that compassion and love that the Lord has for his people, and that they themselves should learn to receive that compassion, that forgiveness, and learn the way of mercy and compassion. So Jesus eats and drinks with sinners in order to demonstrate that this is God's desire, that we show mercy, we show compassion, even to the despised, the unacceptable, even to those that are marginalized. Recognizing there's wisdom in how we negotiate and navigate our relationships and relationships with those that are on the margin, to be sure. But what should motivate us is in receiving God's mercy, compassion, his covenant love for us, undeserving sinners, being forgiven by sheer grace, that we ourselves should somehow be transformed by the power of that love and show mercy and compassion to others. And so Jesus is eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, human need. It's God's desire to reach out in mercy and compassion. I desire compassion and not sacrifice in the way that sacrifice was understood by the Pharisees and by the Israelites in the past. And a further irony is that Jesus himself will be that one who delights in compassion. You see, he's eating and drinking with sinners. And he will be the one who will be the sacrifice of compassion. He'll offer himself as atoning sacrifice. But it'll be a sacrifice motivated by the compassion and mercy toward you, his people. So Jesus eats and drinks with sinners because of human need, God's desire, and because it is the Messiah's mission. Look at verse 13. I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. See, Jesus is reasoning with the Pharisees. It's human need. It's what God desires, his compassion, his mercy. And further, it's what I'm called to do. This is my mission. If Pharisees, you have a mission, this is my mission. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. Here, he is fulfilling God's pleasure, God's desire. And he is God himself who is demonstrating that pleasure and that delight, that compassion and mercy. And so we are called to meditate upon him and all that compassion and mercy, to receive it, to be transformed by it, to be a merciful and compassionate people, sitting, reclining, eating and drinking with those who ordinarily would be despised, traitors, rejected. And if there is going to be a powerful testimony in this dark generation, with all that is swirling around us, it will be the church demonstrating such mercy and compassion to the estranged, to the despised, to the marginalized, and doing it, because we know that we too are sinners. We too are sick, and Christ remedies us. And we go with that remedy. We go with God's desire. We go with God's pleasure. We go with his compassion in order to reach others. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for